Well, some time ago, we talked about vaccines with John Rappaport, if you remember. John is totally opposed to them as well. He, too, believes that the bird flu is not going to be a pandemic. So we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls with our special guest tonight, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, on Coast to Coast AM. So, Sherry, if you had your wish list, what would it be? What would you tell the world about all of this?
Oh, gosh.
There you go. I've given you a genie's wish.
I guess you have. That's terrific. What would I tell the world about all of this? I would say bird flu, it's not what you think it is, you know, because it's not. It's not all the hype. It's not all the fear. It's the globalist agenda, the agribusiness agenda, pharma getting its money and having its way with us, the World Health Organization, the UN. It's not what they're telling you on the 6 o'clock news. Get informed. Form a local organization. All politics is local. Get busy because we have a limited amount of time here to stop this whole agenda.
All right, let's go to the phones. They are packing. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, sir.
First of all, I'd like to say hello, George. Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
Secondly, I'd like to ask if there's any connection with vaccines or tetanus shots with viral spinal meningitis and sudden infant death syndrome. And I'll listen up here. Thank you.
All right.
I think the question, was there a connection between tetanus and meningitis? Is that what he said, George?
Spiral meningitis.
Viral meningitis, maybe?
Maybe.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Spinal meningitis?
Spinal meningitis. Tetanus and spinal meningitis, not that I'm aware of. That's about all I can say about that. Those are two. Tetanus is a different type of organism that causes infections in nerves, mostly peripherally and not centrally. Meningitis is a central infection that goes on in your brain. Gosh, I'm just not familiar with that connection.
How about the sudden infant death syndrome?
The sudden infant death syndrome has been more associated with the pertussis fraction of the DPT, and it's the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis vaccine that is given together. So it's been more affiliated with the pertussis fraction of that, not the tetanus fraction of that.
Okay, very good. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. This is Carmen. I'm calling from Orange.
Hi, Carmen. Thank you.
I love your show, by the way.
Thank you so much.
And I wanted to ask your guest about the dioxide that she was talking about that was in China. That's pretty much contaminating the soil and everything. Why is it so prevalent now? Shouldn't it have been, like, really apparent, like, 10, 15 years ago?
You mean the dioxin issue, like, in Southeast Asia?
Yes. Why is it?
I think that part of that is that it's been persistent for at least the last 30 years, and the levels have not degraded. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've got more industrial-grade, vertically integrated factory farming in Thailand and going into Vietnam than we've ever had before.
So maybe it took that long to get the toxicity level.
Well, it's not so much about increasing toxicities. The background toxicity, I think, has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what's happening now is that we've got these really awful chicken farms that have 10,000 chickens crammed into a small little space.
Right, right.
And all those things.
Or warehouse.
Or warehousing, exactly, with all the horrible conditions of that are breeding grounds mm-hmm. for more highly pathogenic avian influenza viruses.
Well, another question is, how could these migrating birds be contaminating the contained flocks?
Well, they're really not.
And that's what they're trying to correlate.
I know that.
Saying that's happening.
I know that. The whole thing, I love, there's an author who writes for the Los Angeles Times. Her name's Wendy Orient. She wrote this great article about the bird flu.
Mm-hmm.
And I love one of the things that she says when she says, sick birds don't fly far. And dead birds don't fly at all. And I just love that
exactly.
quote. because we're blaming all of these migratory birds for spreading all these viruses around, and to find one dead bird in the middle of somewhere that happened to have the H5N1 virus present, was that really the cause of it? Or did they just happen to have that?
And then they're trying to just exploit it into something that they think that's going to be huge.
That's the excellent word for it, exploit.
Just, and like you said, when you were at that conference, and one of the representatives said that not if, but when this happened.
Repeatedly.
So that tells you that they're already cooking something up so they can get everybody in line to get the shot. And then what happens if you don't take the shot? You know?
Yeah, you're right on target with that.
So I say nobody takes a shot.
I think so, too. You know, George, that's one of the things that we really haven't talked a lot about is where these new shots are going to be coming from.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the flu shots historically have been developed by placing influenza viruses into eggs and incubating them for about 8 months and then harvesting the eggs and treating them with things like formaldehyde and gelatin and polysorbate 80 and all these things, and that becomes the flu shot. Well, what they are now developing and are planning for us is that instead of producing the viruses for the flu shot in eggs, they're going to be using these cell line technologies. One of the cell lines that's being developed is called PRE.C6, pronounced PRC6, which are retina cells that come from aborted fetal tissues. Another one is infecting the viruses using caterpillar eggs so that our flu shots will be developed inside of bugs.
Caterpillar eggs.
And
why
that? Because they feel like that is a way that they can develop the viruses and make them reproduce very quickly. That they take the virus, the influenza virus, and they hook it up with another type of virus, and they infect caterpillar eggs, and they'll use caterpillar eggs to grow the viruses instead of chicken eggs. So then we end up having our flu shots being injected in us because they were developed in bugs. Another one is a type of cell called MDCK cells, which come from kidney cells of dogs. And these are all in the experimental developmental stage. This is what the pharmaceutical industry wanted the massive millions of dollars for. I mean, Santa Fe of Venice got $97 million to build a brand new flu factory in Sweetwater, Pennsylvania, specifically to develop cell line technologies. The reasoning behind it is that to develop a flu shot in using eggs, it's very time intensive, very labor intensive, and you can only get one crop of viruses to be produced once a year. With these cell line technologies, they can make the viruses replicate faster, and they can harvest the viruses for the shot about every 6 weeks. But these are just gross. I mean, it's just disgusting.
It is disgusting.
To think that they're going to be developing these things, and part of the DNA from those dogs and the retina of aborted fetal tissue and the caterpillar eggs will end up in mixing together with the flu virus, and that will be injected into us. And it will also have the possibility of creating mad cow disease. And that's because that whenever live cell tissue cells are used, like the kidney cells from these dogs or even with the eggs, that they can have these extra viruses. And the FDA knows particularly that the viral vaccines can have extra viruses in the little syringe that's being injected into you. And they've issued a memorandum that says, please, that you need to make sure that there's no contamination with these extra viruses. And the memorandum said, quote, the use of these cells to develop vaccines raises the theoretical concerns about contamination with BSE agents, which are what mad cow disease are. So they know unequivocally that these extra viruses and all these things can be causing some big problems. And these are the vaccines that are going to be used massively for the pandemic vaccine. If they don't develop enough vaccine in time for when H5N1 arrives, or so we're being told, then they have to use an adjuvant in order to stretch the vaccine and to have enough to go around so that there's a shot for every man, woman, and child in this country, just like Tommy Thompson said about the smallpox vaccine. The adjuvant that they're talking about using is the MF59 vaccine, the squalene-based adjuvant that's been in the anthrax vaccine. And I know you've had discussions with Gary Matsumoto about his book, Vaccine A.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the adjuvant that is planned for the pandemic vaccine that can cause lupus and debilitating arthritis in experimental animals. Now, you asked me at the top of the hour, I mean, what is behind all of this? You can only wonder why the FDA would approve using a solution known to contain extra viruses that can cause cancer, can potentially cause mad cow disease, and put an adjuvant into the vaccine that can cause debilitating illness and then potentially make it mandatory. I can't think of anything more frightening than that, George.
Do these people who advocate this actually take their own vaccines?
Boy, wouldn't we all like to know that.
Sure would. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Are you there? Well, where did he go? Well, how about that? Wildcard line, you're on the show. Hi there.
Hi. Thank you so much, George, for taking my call. My name is Beverly. I'm from Glendale Heights, Illinois, and Dr. Tenpenny, I'm with you all the way. I've
thought
this for a long, long time. What I'm calling about tonight is I only heard a little blurb, and it was about the Norwalk virus surfacing. That's why I'm calling, because I've never heard it again, in nursing homes and hospitals and... I can't understand it, because isn't that the virus that's on cruise ships?
Gosh, I really don't know the answer.
You are right. It is. Norwalk virus was on cruise ships last year when all those boats, all those boats got infected. And that's how they came up with that whole slogan for it.
What's the slogan?
Don't go on a ship.
Oh, well, now, have you heard, George, where it is now on land?
I have not heard
it. Because I haven't heard it again. I've only heard something about hospitals and I think nursing homes. And it's a form of the norovirus.
Now, this is not like the Legionnaire's disease, is it?
No. Not at all. It's diarrhea, vomiting. I had it. It's awful.
Great.
And I'm wondering if it's coming from those who are caring for the sick patients in the hospitals and the nursing homes.
Good question. Sherry, you're not aware of this at all, are you?
I'm really not. In the last 6 to 8 months, George, I've been working on the bird flu and all the stuff associated with that to get the book together. It's really not anything I've spent much time looking into.
First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Gail. I'm calling from Flat Rock, Michigan. Dr.
Sure,
my husband and I both have very physical jobs, and he has got osteoarthritis terribly, but he gets probably 3 to 4 times a year injections of cortisone, and I don't know how safe that is. Can you maybe help me?
The shots for cortisone for arthritis?
Yes.
That's going to, in the long run, I believe, cause him more problems, because the cortisone can increase osteoporosis. Certainly, it shuts down inflammation and makes the pain go away, but he may want to look into some more natural things to work with him with that. I mean, there are natural forms of anti-inflammatories out there. There is a type of injection therapy done by a lot of integrative physicians called prolotherapy, and you can look that up online and get some information about that.
Prolotherapy
that can help with a lot of joint pain. He should really look at some nutritional status for that. The steroids are going to suppress his immune system, and in the long haul, I think if he's getting that 4 times a year, that may end up to cause him more problems than what it's solving in the short run.
Oh boy, thank you.
Hi, you're welcome.
Okay, I appreciate you being part of the program. All we know is that there are a lot of diseases out there, Sherry. This planet has many, doesn't it?
It does, unfortunately.
Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes, hi. George, is that you?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
It's a pleasure to speak with you and Dr. Tenpenny. Hope you're both feeling well this evening.
We have no diseases, and that's a good thing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I had a thought. And, you know, in listening to all of these conspiracy theories, the Illuminati primarily being one of them, I had a thought in that since we're laying all of, or since someone is laying all of the groundwork of fear for all of these pandemics and everything else that's going on, wouldn't a vaccine be an ideal vehicle to, let's say, put in a delayed agent or maybe an instant agent to reduce the population? I mean, like the Illuminati is talking about.
Well, it's certainly you have to wonder. I mean, just like what I said with the viruses that are known to be, the extra viruses that are known to be in the vaccine, the toxic adjuvants that are in there that can cause lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, you know, the vaccine industry is always crying the blues of saying how, oh, well, we don't make any money off the vaccines, and it costs us so much to produce them, and we don't know what our market share is going to be, and blah, 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 blah. What I've said about the vaccines in general for pediatrics and also for things like the flu shot and certainly the high possibility for this pandemic shot is I think the vaccines are loss leaders for the pharmaceutical companies. You know, gosh, if they can give you a vaccine and it costs them, you know, it costs you $4 or $5 to get the vaccine, but it makes you deathly sick and you've got to be on, you know, very large numbers of expensive drugs for the rest of your life. You know, I suppose they can afford to do vaccines cheaply. I'm really concerned about the cancer-causing agents. I mean, I just don't know if it's how intentional it is, but it's certainly turning a blind eye because the FDA is very much aware that these things are already a possibility.
Would it be conceivable that someone could do that? I mean, if they wanted to, I mean, to either intentionally or subversively put something in a vaccine that would cause, let's say, a mass population decrease?
I think that those things certainly are a possibility. I mean, I just read a report this last week that came out of an experimental journal, a journal of experimentation. I don't remember right this minute what the title of the journal was. But they were looking at using implanted sustained-release medication, little ampules, medication ampules that they could implant into mice, and the dosage could be released by telemetry. So like from across the room on a little dial, you could send an electromagnetic frequency over to the mouse and increase the amount of medication that was being released, slow released from this implantable chip in the mouse's back. So if that sort of technology is available, the sky's the limit in terms of what you could conceive could possibly happen.
What a way to dumb us down, Sherry.
Well, all I could think of was could they implant something in there like, you know, the mind control drugs, things like Prozac or Haldol or, you know, all those things that if somebody was really, you know, standing up and speaking the truth, George, that they could, you know, impregnate something. And then from a distance, from telemetry, they could control the sustained release of the medication.
Guest last night, Alan Watt, believes that they're dumping Prozac chemtrail-wise, right on us. Stay with us, Sherry Tenpenny, our guest. We'll take the rest of your phone calls. What a fast half hour that was. Well, you know, as we get close to Easter, we're going to talk with Dr. Ken Hansen on our next Coast to Coast program about the Dead Sea Scrolls, the untold story. And also, we're going to get his take on this find that they found in Egypt. It's called the Gospel of Judas, an incredible story. That'll be on our next Coast to Coast show. The After Dark newsletter, it too has incredible stories. And you can pick up 14 issues for the price of 12 by calling 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Sherry, are you still going to conferences and taking some speaking engagements?
I certainly am. Yeah, I am. The speaking season's coming up pretty soon, and And I'm actually being asked to speak on this whole topic of bird flu in Europe this summer. I'm going to be in Greece and possibly in Switzerland.
Very good. Mention this offer to our listeners again, would you please?
Sure. If you could go to the website, it's birdfluhype.com, or you could call in on the phone number 866-325-8633, 866-325-8633. It's a toll-free number. And you can get a copy of the bird flu book. And if you get two copies, one for yourself and one for a friend, you can get a copy of our DVD, the three-hour DVD, The Risk Benefits of Vaccination, for free.
Which you can keep. You don't have to give that
right.
to a friend,
you can,
right?
You know, but I have a lot of moms. I work with the Holistic Moms Network and some other people like that, and they actually use the DVD as a little study guide. They get groups of people together. They'll do one DVD, one thing at a time, and do, you know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes and talk about the MMR or the DPT or things like that. So they've actually formed a little network of things that they can talk about that together.
What is the Holistic Moms Group? What is that?
It's a great organization. It's called the Holistic Moms Network. It's holisticmoms.org is their website. They have groups all over the country of moms that have gotten together that have questions about vaccinating or whether or not to vaccinate, about using organic food, about breastfeeding, about all the natural ways to raise your children. It's just a wonderful organization.
To the phones we go, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George and Dr. Tenapenny. This is Leroy out of Waverly,
yes,
Texas.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Listening to KTRH out of Houston. Say, I hadn't heard something that I was concerned about, and that is the additive that they put in the flu vaccine still and most of the children's inoculations prior to their entering school in Texas. It contained a preservative called Tamiflu. It's mercury, which is a toxic nerve toxin, and they have seen somehow or another a correlation between it and autism. One out of 366 children now have autism since the 80s when they started adding this. It used to be up one to like 10 to 15,000.
Good
point. I thought I'd bring that up, and then
good
I have
point.
Two more things.
Well, before you go on to your next thing, I just wanted to say that thimerosal is out of most of the vaccines, but it still is in the flu shot.
That's right.
It still is in the flu shot. And remember, we're giving flu shots now to babies starting at 6 months of age.
But you have to ask for it specifically, or they'll still, the pediatricians are good about not being so apt to give it to the youngsters, but some of these family physicians will still do so. They don't know. You have to read the label, in other words. The other thing is the plastics. Everything is in plastic, and they leach PVCs and other toxins. Oh, we were talking about the one that was a while ago. I don't recall what it was, but if it's in the plastics, after a period of time, it'll leach into the drink. That's in the plastic. Dioxin, that's another one that'll leach out, because plastic is made with dioxin. The process of it's like your pans, the nonstick pans.
The Teflon.
Yeah, Teflon. You know, you can heat those up, they'll kill your canary. They will.
Yeah, they will. No, you're right about that, at a certain temperature.
And then in Africa in the 50s, when they invented the polio vaccine by taking the grinding up living chimpanzees' kidneys, they did pass those through two or three different countries and forced some of the people out of the Congo. The tribes went out with monies to take those vaccines to see if they worked for polio. Some were impure and had the AIDS virus in it, and so AIDS evidently was spread through polio vaccine out of the Congo in through Canada, which came into the U.S. in the 80s. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Let's get a reaction. Go ahead, Sherry. Want to react to some of the things he said? And thank you, Leroy. I appreciate you being on the show.
I agree with everything that he said. He's done his homework. that this is, these are contaminants that have been found in the vaccines that have spread, and he talked about the HIV vaccine. I've heard some people say it was polio. I've heard some people say it was the hepatitis B vaccine, but we know from the research that was done by Dr. Michael Carbone, that one of the things that was in the polio vaccine was that extra contaminant, just like we were talking about the contaminants in the upcoming pandemic vaccine, the contaminant in the polio vaccine was an extra virus called SV40, simian virus 40, that came from the kidney tissues of monkeys. Now we're using kidney tissues of dogs for experimentation for a new vaccine. What kind of viruses and things might we be finding in the dogs that we don't know anything about, just like we didn't know anything about those viruses that came from monkey kidneys when we were first doing the polio vaccine?
Sherry, the globalists would love to get the population of the world down to what they say is a manageable level, like 500 million. That's what they prefer. We're over 6 billion right now. How do we know that they're not responsible for a lot of these plagues and diseases?
We don't. I mean, the question is, how do we know that they're not responsible? We don't know that they're not responsible. You know, I've always kind of wondered, George, you know, about, they keep talking about this depopulation and doing all this stuff. It's like, well, okay, but who's going to run your factories? Who's going to buy your merchandise? You know, what kind of a world are we going to have that right now we're based on, the world is basically run on capitalism and the sale of merchandise, goods, and services. But if there isn't anybody to make those or anybody to buy those, well, what does that mean?
Well, you know? They'll probably hold back enough people just for that. First time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi there. This is Helen.
Hi, Helen.
Hi. I wanted to ask a question about epidural injections. I have, I've had two neck surgeries, and they're trying to get into my back, and I'm not too willing. But I've been having a lot of pain, and I've been having to take epidural injections. Don't those have cortisone in them?
I believe that, yes, they do. Yeah, they do.
Is there any way to get around them or get something else in it instead of cortisone?
There's not, but have you tried a litany of other types of things that might help?
Well, right now I'm on 100 milligrams of morphine twice a day and baclofen twice a day, and it just got so bad. I started having problems using my arms, and sometimes my speech is affected.
Oh, man.
So I'm just kind of up the creek.
Do you have a herniated disc or some sort of an injury?
Yeah, I've had three herniated discs in my neck. I accidentally hit my head on a pipe and under a staircase back in 1991, and my back, I got rear-ended back in 79, and it's just, I'm 61 now, so you know. But anyway,
have you tried things like osteopathic manipulation and acupuncture and prolotherapy and some other types of non-invasive techniques or some things that might serve to heal up that area for you?
Well, if I could find something that an HMO would cover, I might be okay, but I don't know of too much that they take care of like that.
You might want to ask around, because sometimes even inside of an HMO, I mean, you know, in the state of Ohio, acupuncture is frequently paid for by insurance plans now, and in an HMO, if acupuncture is not covered inside your plan, if you can get a referral from your doctor to an outside of the network provider, they can pay for it, or at least a portion of it.
Well, I'll give that a try. I sure appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I'm really enjoying the show tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You know, you would hope they'd pay for acupuncture. It's sure cheaper than a lengthy hospital stay or operation.
Well, yeah, and it's much more effective than the epidurals and much more long-lasting. And, I mean, even the Bureau of Workers' Comp, can, at least in the state of Ohio, will pay up to 10 or 12 acupuncture treatments for chronic pain to see if that's going to work. So, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, George.
Wild card, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Esther, and I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Hello, Esther.
Hi. I had a question about tetanus shots and fluorazine that was put in to check my optic nerve. And right after that, I had a highly allergic reaction to it. And it seemed like my whole immune system was just like, it would blow up. I would blow up all over my body and have big hives. For no apparent reason, my throat would swell shut, my face would swell, I looked like a monster, you know, and I was just wondering, can that cause swelling on the back of my head, with psoriasis. And
you,
how do
so
I
you're get, asking me about the tetanus shot?
Both. Yeah, I had had tetanus shots also after that. I had gotten bit by a cat. I was trying to help.
And what do the tetanus shots do, Sherry?
Well, tetanus shots really do cause an immune type of reaction, like any type of vaccine can do that. There's always idiosyncratic reactions, which means it's specific to you. It may not be reported in the medical literature, but if something happened after you got a shot, then it could potentially be caused by the shot. Just because it's not listed in the package insert doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Could it also cause Meniere's disease?
I'm not familiar with that connection.
Oh. Okay. Is there any shot that can cause Meniere's disease?
I'm not familiar with that connection. There
at
might
all.
Be, but I'm not familiar with that one. No, I'm not. Sorry.
Okay. And so is there anything, are there any shots that cause psoriasis on the head and the swelling?
No, usually what we've found in our clinical practice is that psoriasis is related to an unrecognized and undetermined food allergy. Between psoriasis and eczema can be a food and environmental allergy. But, you know, some of the shots may have caused a disruption to your immune system that may have led to a sensitivity to food reactions. But I'm not particularly aware of it. That now, I have to say, I haven't read, you know, in the last 6 months, I haven't read every single vaccine package insert for every single side effect. If there's any ones that you're particularly concerned about, you can go to your library. You can get a book that's on the shelf called The Physician's Desk Reference, which is a compilation of all the package inserts, and look up any of those vaccines that you may have had and read the side effects and see if there's anything there that applies to you.
Sherry, did you see today that the Bausch & Lomb has got to pull one of their solutions for contact lenses because of infections that it causes in some people?
Oh, gosh. No, I didn't
see
that.
When does it end?
Well, exactly, George, exactly.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George and Sherry. This is Diane from St. Louis.
Hi, Diane.
Thanks, Sherry, and George, for having this call, show. It's really been helpful, what I've been able to hear of it. I have a six-year-old little boy. When he was a year old, he got his booster vaccinations, and a few weeks later, he became crippled. It took us a while to realize it. We thought he was just scooting around on the floor. He had just started to walk. And well, the short story is they ultimately said he had some type of mixed connective tissue disease and or possibly juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and but they never really did nail it down. They put him on chemotherapy, methotrexate and naproxen and steroids and on. And he was on that for a number of years until his fingernails started turning black and falling off. And I kept telling them. I had done research myself, and I had heard about this antibiotic therapy that a Dr. Brown had started years ago, and I wanted them to try that, and nobody would try it, and I finally had to do it myself. I went up to see this doctor in Iowa. He treated Jacob. He went into immediate remission, and he's doing wonderfully now, and I have him off of the terribly toxic drugs, but he takes a standard antibiotic protocol. He takes it all the time, antibiotics. Which is in line with what you're talking about with, I guess, the tetracycline with the
right my attack of my calcium in my system.
Right, and what I guess I'm wondering if you guys, if you can help me, where, because this has cost me a lot of money. I have had to refinance my house. I'm a single mom. I've had to do it like four times
to
help pay for the cost of this. He's been through physical therapy, and I'm just wondering, where could I start to maybe try and get some help from the pharmaceutical companies, because I know they're responsible for it.
Well, the only possible thing that you could do with that is if you've made the connections with the vaccine, is that you can file for through the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. However, the only injury programs that get compensation are you have to look at the vaccine injury compensation table. And it doesn't sound like what your son has gone through, unfortunately, is going to qualify for that. The pharmaceutical companies they're not going to take any responsibility for it, unfortunately.
Right, I'm sure they're not. However, his pediatrician is aware, and he he did sign an exemption form because Missouri here, they have their most recent required vaccination to start kindergarten is chickenpox.
Right.
And I told him at first, I said, I want my kid to have chickenpox. It's ridiculous for him not to have chickenpox.
Right.
Why would you want to keep him? And they, well, you have to have it. You have to have it unless you get an exemption. So his doctor immediately signed an exemption.
So good for you and good for your doctor.
Yeah, and he signed an exemption from the next time he had to get his booster vaccinations. Because I told him, he's not getting any more vaccinations. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You know, you're just not going to shoot him up with anymore. But, okay, well, thank you. I appreciate it. I thought maybe you might be able to steer me in the right direction there.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have any magic bullet for that for you. But I'm glad you found something that's helping him and that he's getting better.
You know, pretty admirable, too. Here she is. She finances her house, refinances it four times.
Exactly.
Just to raise some money to take care of her little kid.
See, George, that's what I was saying about vaccines being loss leaders. You know, it didn't cost a lot to get those shots, and it didn't cost a lot to give them. But look at the financial fallout for this poor woman and the health fallout for her poor son, which goes back to one of your questions earlier in the program about, Should people be more afraid of the vaccine or more afraid of the disease?
And why aren't we as a nation making these things available to people at a very, very cheap rate? That's what we need to do, Sherry.
Yep.
I mean, to me, that's a sin. I mean, they should be able to help, you know, families like this who need something.
Yep. Yeah,
instead, they're spending their money in all these other places.
Yep. And if you have a very ill child, whether it's an autistic child, a child on the autistic spectrum, a child with mixed connected disease, autoimmune disease caused by the vaccines or whatever, I mean, your whole life is wrapped up in trying to do something better for your child, get them well, spend whatever money you have, including refinancing your house to get your child well. But when the medical industry caused that to begin with, that is something we got to change.
So you and I were on the same side. We do not believe that this bird flu will ever become a pandemic. But I'll tell you what, Sherry, I don't trust them in that if it becomes a serious problem, I think they created it just to make it happen.
You really have to wonder, don't you, George? You really do.
Yep.
Well, I hope that people will have an opportunity to go to that birdfluhype.com site because every single day I've got daily updates to keep everybody informed on what's going on and give them ammunition to fight back.
You got it. Sherry, thanks for being on the program tonight.
Thank you so much, George. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisori, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.